Matthew, the 14th chapter, page 1019 in your Scofield Reference Bible. Beginning with the 22nd verse, we'll read through verse 27, verses 22 through 27, and we'll read these verses responsively. Then shall we please stand for the reading of God's Word. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And let's pray. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to examine our hearts. We're thankful for the time spent at your table. And now there's just no reason why we shouldn't be ready to hear the word preached. Even as you've prepared us, keep us mindful of our need for the service. Help our desire to be toward thee. Help us to be willing to give attention now to the man of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was reminded a while ago, and I'd already seen him, Evangelist Keith Whitehouse was here back there tonight. One of our young men grew up here in the church and is being used of God in a wonderful way all over the nation. Now we're glad to have Brother Keith with us tonight. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, those who are saved but have not yet accepted Jesus. Saved people who have not yet accepted Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, bless our message tonight. The strengthening of our Christian lives so others can be saved, so they can have their lives strengthened, so others can be saved. In Jesus' name, help us. Amen. This is a strange story. Jesus ordered his disciples into a boat, and it was headed for a collision with troubled waters. The Bible says that he constrained them to enter into the boat. He did not go with them, and he ordered the ship, directed the ship, to go toward the troubled waters. God had planned it that way. God had planned that they go toward the troubled waters. And God had planned that Jesus not be with them as they go. Now, why was this? Why would it be that Jesus, knowing that storm was ahead, and knowing that the boat was headed toward the storm, why would Jesus constrain or insist that those men get in that boat and go toward those troubled waters? I'll tell you why. They had to do it when he was gone. He's about to leave. It'll just be a while now until our Lord has left the disciples, the apostles. They're going to have to solo it by themselves. And they're going to have some troubled waters. They're going to have some tough times. And he won't be there. And so our Lord is getting them ready for those tough times. So he absentiates himself from them and puts them in the boat, insists that they get in the boat, directs the boat, charts the course of the boat, directs the storm, and the boat and the storm meet each other, according to the plan of our Savior. He was weaning them. These are men who are going to have to conquer the world with the gospel. These are the men who are going to have to take the gospel of grace to the far corners of the earth. Them, we would not be sitting in this room tonight. These 12 men turned out to be 11, but these men, these disciples or apostles, have a tremendous responsibility. And they're going to go through some battles. They're going to have some storms. And our Lord knew that. Now, up until now, every storm that they had endured, they endured with him. Up until now, every battle that they had had to fight, they fought with him, and he fought that battle for and with them. But now, all of a sudden, realizing that soon he must depart, and soon they must face the storms and battles of life and of the propagation of the gospel without him, he withdraws himself and goes up to a mountain. I want you to notice this. His eye was always on that boat. They were in the boat, and they were in the storm, and he was not there. And they did not know, as I said this morning, that he was watching them. But his eye was always on that boat. Let me illustrate. This is in my book on how to rear children. Our oldest daughter, Becky, who will be 36 years old this Saturday. Becky was our first child, and so though I did it for all the children, Becky was the first one, so I'll use her as the illustration. I didn't want our children to be afraid of darkness. I think one of the most tragic things is for a child to grow up thinking that darkness is bad and being afraid of the dark. So I'd take Becky and put her on a pallet. Is that word still used, pallet? A little quilt on the front yard. I'd put her out there and about dusk, and I'd go out there and sit on the pallet with her. And then when it got dark, I'd be there and I'd get her to playing with something. Then I'd get behind her and sit behind her. She knew I was there, but she'd be playing with something. And then I would tiptoe back into the house, and she'd be out there on the pallet in the darkness alone. She thought I was there, but I was back in the house. Then she'd look around and see that I wasn't there, and she'd know whether to cry or not. And at first she did. But gradually, I'd stay a little longer. But by the way, never took my eye off of her. I'd go in the house, look out the window, keep my eye on her all the time. I was trying to get her weaned to not being afraid of the darkness. And that's exactly what our Lord was doing. I want to tell you something, folks. Your storm is coming. I've said this often, but your storm is coming. It may be that your boat has not yet sailed into the foul winds, but they will sail. It will sail into the foul winds. It may be that your life has not become complicated. And as I look around this room tonight, I can look anywhere I want to and tell you people. Young man over here just looked at him. A young man over here, all of a sudden, his health just sort of went foul. Look back here. A lady back there has serious health problems. Looked over here a while ago, saw a man that has, through the years, had a cancer and been concerned about that. And all over this room tonight, everybody, well, if you have not yet had your storms, you will have your storms. And so Jesus is putting them in the boat, sending that boat toward the storm, because he knows he'll be gone after a while. And he knows that these men are going to have some battles to fight alone as far as the physical eye is concerned. They're going to have to fight some battles without hearing his voice openly, without seeing his face visibly. They're going to have to fight some battles. So our Lord wants to get them accustomed to the storm before he leaves. But now that's just parenthetical. Mainly, Jesus wants, now this is the sermon, mainly Jesus wants them to accept him. You say, hold it, preacher. Weren't these men saved? Oh, yes, they were saved. They had accepted him as Savior. They had accepted him as provider. They had accepted him as miracle worker. They had accepted him as the Son of God. But they had not accepted him as the storm bearer. You see, and here's the sermon. In the Old Testament sacrifices, the system of offering, three animals basically were offered. Those three animals, these, the goat, the sheep, and cattle. Goat, sheep, and cattle. Oh, I know that birds were offered as a substitute, but as far as the animal offerings were concerned, every offering was either the male and the female of the goat, cattle or sheep, one or the other. Now follow me carefully. When the offering was given, the person who was giving the offering and for whom the offering was being made would place his hand upon the head of that goat or that of the cattle or the sheep and place his hand on the head. Now, with the placing of his hand on the head, it meant that he was putting his faith in that sacrifice. But now, wait a minute. Each of those three sacrifices symbolizes something. The goat is a symbol of sin. The sheep is a symbol of provision. They ate the lamb, the sheep. The Passover lamb, they ate the Passover lamb. They did not eat the goat. They ate the Passover lamb. The goat was a symbol of sin. The sheep was a symbol of provision. And the cattle was a symbol of burden bearing. The cattle was the one who pulled the load. The sheep was the one that was eaten. And the goat was the one that symbolized sin. Now those three offerings are animals together picture our great sacrifice. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our provider. Jesus is our burden bearer. But now when you accept Him as your Savior, you do not necessarily accept Him as your provider. There are folks tonight in this room, you're saved. You've accepted Him as your Savior. If you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. You're born again. You're not trusting a church role. You're not trusting some good deeds. You're not trusting a sacrament. You're not trusting a communion. You're not trusting a confessional booth. You're not trusting a confirmation. You're not trusting a church membership. You're trusting the sacrifice of Jesus, God's only acceptable sacrifice and substitute and payment for the penalty of your sin. But the truth is, you fret all the time about how you're going to make it. If you can accept Him for your eternity, why can't you accept Him for your earth? He can take care of you eternally in heaven. Why don't you trust Him to take care of you temporally on earth? He can care for you for eternity. Why don't you trust Him for 70? Don't you see what I'm saying? There are folks tonight who are resting in the finished work of Calvary as far as the goat is concerned. But you're not resting in the finished work of Calvary as far as His provision is concerned. Let me tell you something. When the Jew offered the Passover lamb as a sacrifice for sin, that wasn't all. The following week, they ate that lamb and feasted upon that lamb. Now I want to talk to three groups of people about just briefly before I go on to the sermon. I want to parenthesize for a second. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Are you relying upon His offering on Calvary and His death and burial and resurrection as your hope for heaven? Are you relying upon that as your hope for heaven tonight? You ask the average person on the streets of Hammond, are you going to heaven when you die? And they would say, well, I got as good a chance as anybody. Well, that means you're going to hell then. Because nobody has a chance apart from trusting Jesus as Savior because He was a sacrifice for our sin. Are you relying upon Him to take you to heaven? Are you trusting Him as your Savior? Have you accepted Him as your peace as far as your eternity is concerned? Many years ago, as I've said so often, it all got settled for me. Now, I believe some people doubt their salvation. I can honestly tell you, I do not believe there's been one single moment since I was 11 years of age when I've doubted for one second my salvation. I'm not against it. I think some folks do. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm not perfect. Well, not quite. But I'm not perfect. I'm not yet apprehended. But I've never doubted the fact
I'm saved. You know why? Because I'm not trusting myself. If I was trusting my own goodness, I'd be worried about it. Or if trusting your goodness, I'd be really worried about it. But if I was trusting the church membership, I'd be worried, well, maybe it's the wrong church. Or if I was trusting it, but you see, I just jumped on the bandwagon, the Jesus bandwagon. And I just said, I'm not going to fret anymore about salvation. That's your business. It's your job to save me. It's your job to keep me saved. If I go to hell, you're going to take me there. Settles it. It's done. Great transaction is done. Quit your fretting and your stewing about your salvation. Quit your lying awake at night. Oh, I wonder if I'm saved. I wonder if I really meant it. Just tell God, God, I know that Jesus came and lived and died and paid the penalty for my sin. I know he was buried after 72 hours, rose again from the grave. And I, this moment, from now on, am letting you take care of where I go when I die. Now, I'll be on an airplane tomorrow flying to Florida with other birds that have got sense. I'll be flying to Florida to preach. It's strange, last week Alaska and this week Florida. But I'll be on an airplane. Now, I'm going to get... Listen, if that plane crashes, it's the pilot's fault. But I'm going to trust him. I am going to trust him. I'm getting on that plane. I'm trusting that pilot. I'm saying to that pilot, if we go down, it's your fault. Now, why don't you give Jesus the same trust I'm going to give that pilot? Why don't you just say, Jesus, you died for me. You rose again after 72 hours. And you paid the penalty. And I am going, and I am so sick and tired of this stupid, idiotic, satanic lordship salvation mess, I want to throw up on it. You don't have to take him as Lord to go to heaven. You take him as Savior to go to heaven. That's just a glorified salvation by works. Not what you do, it's what he did. It's not do, it's done. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's, and he is mine. The old account was settled long ago. Settled. He paid for it. All I can do is trust him. You see, without, well, if you trust him and don't do good, well, all of us do exactly that. You trust him and don't do good. And you do-gooders better stop and realize it's not do-gooders that get to heaven, it's do-trusters that get to heaven. Have you accepted him as your Savior? By the way, secondly, have you accepted him as your provider? You've accepted him as your sin offering. Have you accepted him as your provision offering? Now, here's the thing. The liberals today accept him as the second one, but not the first. You can't go 2-1-3. You can't go 3-1-2. You can't go 2-3-1-3-2-1. You go 1-2-3 or 1-3-2. But you cannot trust him as your provider till you've trusted him as your Savior. You cannot trust him as your burden bearer, but you trust him as your Savior. So, have you trusted him as your Savior? Do you know that your name is written in heaven? Are you sure if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? If the trumpet sounded now, and the dead in Christ rose, and those of us who are alive and remain, who are in Christ, should rise and meet the Lord in the air, are you sure? Let me tell you something. If I had one doubt out of 1,000 in my mind tonight, that I would not rise at the rapture, I would stand up tonight and say to you folks, I pastored this church for 28 years and 3 months. But I have some doubts that I'm saved tonight, and I want to tell you something. I'm embarrassed about this because I want you to have a saved pastor. But I'd rather be embarrassed before you than be embarrassed someday at the judgment of God. And I'm going to tell you folks, I want to get saved tonight. I'd do it just like that if I had one doubt in 1,000. For the 10,000th time, rather lose my job as pastor of this church than lose my hope for the holy city. They'll be embarrassed for the next few years and be embarrassed for eternity. I've accepted him as my Savior. I know I have. I'm saved, not because I'm good, but because he's good. Not because what I've done, but because what he's done. I'm saved. It's all settled. I trust him. I'm not saved because I joined the church. I'm not saved because I got baptized. I'm not saved because I live a good life. I'm not saved because I take communion. I'm saved because I got on the boat that he built for me through his death on Calvary. And I'm trusting the pilot. I often get on the airplane, see the pilot, co-pilot up there. I'll walk up and say, "You guys sober?" And they'll usually cut up, say, "Well, nearly." I say, "You know the way, got your road map. Have you been to school?" And all those little hundreds and hundreds of little doojiggers up there, I said, "You guys know which one of those to push and which one's to pull?" And I often say to one of them, "Well, okay, my mama told me to be careful. She's going to be upset with you folks if you don't be careful now. But if we go down, it's your fault. By the way, I have one deal. If the pilot will go up, I'll go up with him." You know, did you ever not want to fly on a flight? No, not in a quarter of a century. He goes up, I'll go up. I mean, if he goes down, and if I go down, he's going down too. That's a wonderful truth. You might all write that down. But that's the way you get saved. I don't get saved because I take a Reese's peanut butter cup and give it to the pilot. I don't get saved because I shine the pilot's shoes. I don't get saved because I'm good to the pilot. I don't get to Florida tomorrow because I'm nice to the passengers on the plane. I get there because I trust the pilot. Well, how you trust the pilot? Get on the plane. Best way. Secondly, have you trusted Jesus as your provider? Don't you think it'd be just as well if the guy, the Lord that can save you from your sin, don't you think he can provide for you in your life? There are folks tonight who've trusted Jesus as Savior, but you've never trusted him as your provider. You've accepted the sacrifice of the goat for sin, but you've not accepted the sacrifice of the lamb to be eaten for God to provide for you. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. God will take care of you. Tonight, trust him as your provider. Trust him as your provider. Well, how do you do it? Same way you got saved. By faith. Believe that he will. God's going to supply my needs. Say, how do you know? He said he would. Well, do you ever worry about it? No, because don't worry about anything he said. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." I can trust that by faith, just like I trust John 3:16 by faith. I can take you to the very spot. I can take you to the very spot where I trusted Jesus as my Savior. And by the way, it worries me a little bit when anybody can't do that. I've heard people say, "Well, you can be born, not know where you're born." Well, I guess you can, but I don't like that. That bothers me. I wouldn't want to say somewhere in between the time I was 11 and the time I was 18, I got saved. I just happened to know it one day when I was 18. Now, that's okay. If you want to trust that, go ahead. But, brother, I want to take you to a spot and say, right there, on a certain day, at a certain time, I learned a certain truth and trusted a certain Savior. And the time I knelt right there, at that time, I've known I'm going to heaven. That's what I want. That's what I want. I understand all the doctrinal sermons about it. I understand all the illustrations. I've used them all. But I just want to know when and where. Now, you may not know the date. You may not have written down. This is I can't tell you what day in August it was when I got saved, but I can tell you what. I can remember it. I was there. I remember it. I didn't check the time of day, but I know within 15 minutes what time it was. I didn't look and see what time it was. I didn't have a watch. But I can tell you within 15 minutes what time it was. But I can take you to the spot, and I remember the place, and I remember when I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I also can take you to the very place and the spot, and I can remember the time, not the time of day or the day of the month, but I can remember the experience when I got on my knees one day and I said, "Jesus, from this moment forward, I'm not going to fret about my provisions. Just as if you want to take me to hell, I'll trust you anyway. I like what Billy Bray said about that. The old Carnage coal miner shouted all the time. You heard me tell about it in here and on the radio. Everywhere he went, he shouted, "Praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah." Somebody said, "Quit, shut your mouth." He said, "If I shut my mouth, my feet would shout." Time my left foot hits the ground, it says, "Glory to God." My right foot hits the ground, it says, "Praise the Lord." If Billy Bray met you on the street, he'd say, "Ain't you saved?" You'd say, "Well, of course." "Then why ain't you shouting?" He always shouted. One day some guys tried to trick him, and one night he's walking down the street and across the tracks, across the woods, in the woods, they got together and they said, "Billy Bray, this is the devil talking. I'm over here in the woods. This is the devil talking." Billy Bray had a spell. He said, "Hey, amen. Glory to God, old devil. I didn't know you were so far from me." Billy Bray was dying. They came to his bedside. They said, "Billy, you're dying." He said, "Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll be in heaven in just a few minutes." Somebody said, "Well, what if you've been wrong and go to hell?" He said, "I'll just shout all the way to hell. At least I was saved. It'll be saved in hell than unsaved in heaven. I'll shout all the way to hell. Praise God, I'm saved and born again." I'll get down to hell, and the devil will say, "You can't act like that down here." And I'll just say, "Okay, give me a transfer." I'll shout all the way back to heaven. Old Billy Bray, the Cornish coal miner, came to the time in his life where he trusted Jesus as his provider. He said, "I'm trusting Jesus to provide for me as my provider." I can tell you the very spot where I knelt and I said, "Jesus, just like Billy Bray said, I'm saved. And if Jesus lets me go to hell, I'm still trusting him." Just as I said one day, "Jesus, wherever you take me when I die, that's where I'm going." That's what faith is. He said he'd take me to heaven. I believe it enough to trust him. And if he takes me to hell, I'd rather go to hell with Jesus than heaven without him. And one day I decided, "Jesus, it's up to you. I'll starve, but I'm going to trust you. And it's your fault if I starve. I'll work as hard as I can, but it's up to you to take care of me." I'd like to recommend tonight, if you've never trusted him as your Savior, that you do so tonight. And I'd like to recommend those of you folks tonight who are always spreading and always, "Well, I just wonder how we're going to make ends meet." Well, why don't you meet the end maker? I wish you'd trust him as your provider. They placed their hands on the head of that goat, symbolic of the fact that they were trusting him for their sins. They placed their hands on the head of that lamb and ate that lamb for 7 days, signifying the fact, "He who saves me and can take me to heaven can care for me on the way to heaven." Trust him as your provider. Trust him. Then there's third. And that is the cattle, the burden bearer. Just three sacrifices, just three animals. Each one represents three areas where you ought to accept Christ. Accept him as your Savior if you're not saved. If you're saved, accept him as your provider. Rely upon him, rest in him, trust in him. It's up to him. And thirdly, and this is the hardest one of all, and this is the one these disciples were facing in the boat in the storm. Accept him as your burden bearer in the storm. That's the hardest one. I can take you to the very spot where I accepted Jesus as my burden bearer. I can take you to the very spot where I said to Jesus, "If you want me to bear burdens the rest of my life, go ahead. If you want me to carry a load the rest of my life, if you want me bent beneath that load, go ahead." But I can take you to the very spot where in recent years I've gone back. You see, I always thought that somehow there'd be a time in a preacher's life if he's faithful. I always thought there'd be a time, and maybe it'd be a retired soldier. I don't mean quit preaching. I just felt like the time may come when the Lord felt like you wouldn't have to be put through the fire anymore. And I remember a few years ago when I went to the very spot
where I went years ago, and I said, Jesus, I accept you as my burden bearer. And I went to the very spot, and I said, now, Jesus, I realize something I've never realized before. And I'm going to have to bear burdens till I die. I guess that's one of the hardest things I ever did. I guess I thought when a preacher got up in years, maybe he became sort of a patriarch or something. But all of a sudden it dawned on me. I'd always have to wake up with the burdens. All of a sudden it dawned on me that old men have to carry loads too. And I just accepted him all over again as my burden bearer. He's the God of my salvation. He's the God of my provision. And he's the God of my storms. Trust him. Accept him as your Savior. Accept him as your provider. Accept him as your burden bearer. I'm talking to folks tonight. You've accepted him as your Savior, but not as your provider. I'm talking to others who've accepted him as your Savior. You've accepted him as your provider, but you've not accepted him as your burden bearer. You've trusted the goat, you've trusted the lamb, but you've not trusted the cattle. You've not trusted the beast of burden. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. You can trust and never doubt. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Don't you think he can take care of your burden? If he can save you from hell, couldn't he take care of your burden? He could forgive every sin. Forget every sin. Justify you in his presence. Save you from the torments of hell. Redeem you to the holy city of the New Jerusalem. Make you a child of the King. Don't you think that same Savior can provide for you? And don't you think that same Savior can be with you in the burdens and give you strength to bear the burdens? Oh, yes, he can. Oh, yes, he can. So these three groups I come tonight. To those who have not accepted him as your Savior, I come and say, what am I saying? I'm saying, rely on him. That's all. That's all it is. Rely on him. Just say, Jesus, I never have saved anybody, and I'm a little tired of trying to save myself. Here I am. Just hold your nose and jump in. The water's fine. Get on the plane. Get on the boat. Trust the pilot. You go down, blame the pilot. If I go to hell, it's Jesus' fault. Trust him. Then have that same faith for your provision. Accept him. A lot of good people tonight have accepted him as Savior, but you've never accepted him. You worried sick about what you're going to do when you're 65. You just tremble. What am I going to do when I get 80? I know what you're going to do. You're going to worry about what you're going to do when you get 90. What you going to do? You like the preacher that said one time, there's only three things I worry about in a sermon. He said, before I preach, I worry about what in the world am I going to say. And while I preach, I worry about what in the world am I saying. When I get through, I worry about what in the world did I say. That's what you're going to worry about. When you're 65, you're going to worry about what you do. Well, what's going to happen when I'm 70? Well, that's easy. You're going to worry about what's going to happen when you're 75. Won't you trust him as your provider? Say, if I starve, cheerful. I'm relying upon you to provide for me exactly as I'm relying upon you to take me to heaven when I die. And then those of you that have not trusted him as your burden bearer, you look up to heaven tonight and say, dear Jesus, not only were you pictured by that goat, which is a symbol of my sin, and not only were you pictured by that lamb, which is a symbol of my sustenance and provision, but you're symbolized by that burden-bearing cattle that pulled the load. That's what he's talking about when he says, take my yoke upon you. Listen to me, folks. A yoke doesn't have one place for one animal. A yoke has two places.
Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. He didn't say, here's your burden, take it and run with it. No, he's saying, look, get beside me. I'm already in it. You get beside me. Let's put it together. That's what he's saying. Yoke has two places. Accept him as your burden bearer. Why didn't somebody out in that storm say, look, we trusted him 3 years. We've trusted him all this time. He's fed us. He saved us. I don't understand this storm, but I bet you somewhere he's around here looking at us. But they didn't. They had trusted him as their Savior. They had trusted him as their provider. But they had not trusted him as their burden bearer. If I were you tonight, and I did not know I was saved, I'd get somewhere tonight in this altar by myself if needs be, and I'd say, dear Jesus, I'm so sick and tired of trying to save myself and let my church save me and my preacher save me and my baptism save me and my good work save me. Here I am! Do it! And he says, how am I going to feel? Doesn't matter how you feel. I may get on the airplane tomorrow morning and go to sleep. I may get on the airplane tomorrow morning and I may say, boy, what a beautiful day to fly. I may get on the airplane tomorrow morning and I may get mad at the stewardess. But bless God, what I feel on the airplane has nothing to do with it. The question is, did I get on a stupid plane? Getting on a plane, that's what does it. It's not how you feel. It's are you on a plane or you trusted a pilot. And then tonight, if you're here and you're one of these doubters and fretters and oh, wonder how I'm going to make it, all fully on you. Why don't you get somewhere tonight before you go to bed and get in some lonely spot and get on your knees and so, thou, the great God of my salvation, I accept you, Jesus, not only as my Savior, I accept you as my provider, and from now on, I'm not going to worry. John Wesley said, I would no more worry than I would, or fret than I would curse or swear. And then tonight, those of you that you trust him to provide for you. You listen to me. You trust him to provide for you. You trust him to save you. But somehow you go to pieces in the storm, don't you? Just go to pieces in the storm. You say, how do you do it? Same way you got saved. Put your faith in him. Put your faith in him. I want to make some observations and I'll close. How can you accept him as burden bearer? Number one, realize he did not make the storm. Jesus is not the storm maker. Number two, realize he sent you into it. God did not create that enemy you got. God did not create that scandalizer you got. But God may allow you to enter into his path. To make you stronger. God did not create the whiskey. But God may want to see if you love him enough not to take any of it. He may let some be passed by you one of these days. God does not create the storm. But number two, you realize he did send you into it. Number three, you realize that while you're in the storm, you're never out of his sight. He was up there on that mountain. This guy, boat was rocking and rocking and rolling and rocking. Rock and roll. And boat was rocking and reeling. Rock and reel. Rock and reel, my Savior, reel. But he was rocking, boat was rocking and reeling. And the storm was coming and the winds were blowing. And the boat was about to go under. And they were scared to death if they had just realized. He's up there right now. He who can calm that storm is up right now. And after a while, he's going to walk out on the water and say, just shh. Hey, hush. Shh. Stop. The winds and the waves, they obey my will. Peace be still. Peace be still. Jesus said, peace be still to the waves. Next thing, realize you're never out of his care. Never out of his care. And then realize the storm is for your good. I've mentioned this often. I'm thinking of a preacher now. It's going to be one of the greatest preachers in America as soon as he accepts Jesus as his burden bearer. But he hadn't had his heart broken yet. No preacher will ever reach his potential till his heart's broken some. Never will.
You know why? Because you won't accept Jesus as your storm bearer until you have a storm. Or your burden bearer until you have burdens. Many a preacher needs what I'm talking about right now. Troubles come, fall apart. Battles come, fall apart. Heartaches come, fall apart. You know why? They've accepted Jesus as Savior. They've accepted Jesus as Provider. But they've never accepted Jesus as Burden Bearer. Now, either He can or He can't. I love that little story I've told 1,000 times since I've been here, but I love it. The guy was hitchhiking. Had a sack of potatoes over his shoulder. Hitchhiking. Holding up a sack of potatoes. Car stops. Old man. Oh, it was years ago. The guy gets in the car. Says, "Where are you going?" He tells him. He says, "I'll take you there." But the old guy keeps his potatoes over his shoulder. And the fellow driving the car said, "Sir, I don't mean to be unkind, but why don't you put those potatoes on the floor instead of over your shoulder?" And the fellow said, "I'm not going to do it." He said, It's enough for me to ask you to carry me, but I'm not going to ask you to carry my potatoes too." And there he was. And that's you right now. There you are. Sitting right there in salvation with Jesus, the Savior, the Provider, and the Burden Bearer. And you won't put your taters down because you don't want Jesus to have to carry your taters too. Put them down. Just put them down. Take your burden to the Lord and leave Him there. That's what He wanted these disciples to do. They had trusted Him as their Savior. They had trusted Him as their Provider. But He knows they have many a storm to endure, many a battle to fight, many a tear to shed. He's going to be in heaven. He's going back soon. And these men, 11 of them, will have to take the message of grace and each become a little Jesus. And organize and carry this message around the world. And Jesus knows they're going to have more than a Savior and more than a Provider. They're going to have to know that Jesus will care for them in the storm. Have you accepted Him as your Savior? If not, you walk down this aisle and just take your sins and your eternity and take them off yourself and say, "Off the way, Jesus, take them. I'll trust you to take me where you want to take me. Take me to heaven, take me to purgatory, take me to hell. I'm trusting you." Nobody's ever done that in a ride in purgatory or hell. And then take your doubts and frets about the future. "Oh, how are we going to make it? What are we going to do when a rainy day comes?" I have a sneaking suspicion that the Savior who saved you from hell could not save you from a rain. And those of you that have never trusted Him as your burden bearer, remember, there are 3 sacrifices. One for sin, one for provision, and one for burden. Accept Him. Accept Jesus tonight as your Savior, or as your Provider, or as your burden bearer. Father,